what a beautiful service. Beautiful songs of praise, of redemption, of salvation, of our freedom in Christ. Now this morning we'll be continuing in our sampling, our sampler, if you will, in Psalms with Psalm 8. So if you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 8, please, we'll read that together. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, at the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands and put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven and the fish of the seas, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you today. Just ask your blessing on this time of worship. Lord, help me to be clear in preaching your word. And just help your word to go forth. Fill our hearts today, Lord, we ask. And let everything we do today be for your glory. And Lord, a special thank you for guiding my finger just now to find my notes on this tablet. Amen. Good old technology. We just talked about sanctifying, is it not? It is sanctifying. Used to be automobiles, now it's a special place for technology. So to this morning's psalm, and I love when the Lord does this, right? The Lord, we talked about a woman who used the gifts the Lord gave her to map the surface of the earth. And if that wasn't miraculous enough, the surface of Pluto, which is really mind-boggling. But, you know, it's a very important thing to consider God's glory in his creation. Not just that it's there and it's amazing, but also our place in it. And we're going to do that today as every psalm should, as a psalm of praise, right? This psalm begins with a cry, O Lord, our Lord. And what an amazing thing, not just to be able to call on the God who created this earth, Pluto, and everything else in the universe, everything, but not just to call on him at all, but to call him our God. And we're going to consider today the place of people in this immense universe that God has created, people's relationship with God, for good or for ill, and what our response should be as God's creation. And we'll do it with a mind to worship and praise. So we have this cry of praise, and then the psalmist says, how majestic is your name in all the earth? And back then, he was talking about everything. The Lord's name is majestic in everything, everywhere. His presence would burn people up. He told Moses, you can't even look at my glory. I know you want to see it, but you couldn't even handle it. You'd be a cinder. And so we consider the reflection of God's glory in his creation, but he's not just left us to consider the beauties of nature and what's going on. He's also given us his name, his character, his promises, and all the things that go with it that he has revealed in his word. And if his name is majestic, as I said, what about his presence? What he has revealed to us is magnificent already. So to be able to call him our Lord is an amazing thing. And do we know his magnificence? I know a lot of people take it for granted, sadly. They take it for granted that they get up and they walk on this earth. They don't float off into space. They have air to breathe. Today we have sunshine to show us when we're freezing, to light our way and cheer us in this winter time. We have birds that sing, a moon that shines, and it's all wonderful things, but people do take it for granted. And do we remember that he created it? Are we thankful for the comfort that it gives us? And does it give us confidence in something bigger than ourselves? Does it give us confidence in God to see how he cares for his earth and makes it a beautiful and often wonderful place to be? So I just want to call our attention to that, because I don't want us to lose track of God's magnificence. That is, as I just said, it goes beyond what's revealed in creation. It's revealed in his word. And that is the magnificence that we're talking about. Because frankly, beloved, without God's presence, without him calling to people, revealing himself to people, this beautiful world would be a veritable hell. It would be a hell without him, whether we realize it or not. And I just want to call that because his majesty isn't just here for this church or here in our hearts or our heads, but as our psalm says, it's in all the earth. It's in all the earth. God is not bound in this church. He's not bound to work on Sunday morning. He is out in his creation, in his world working. His glory is above all the heavens. There's no world that is not his. There is no world that he did not make. And as our psalm reminds us, it was so simple a thing for him that the psalmist talks about him creating the heavenly bodies and the stars with his fingertips. That's what is mentioned. It's fine, delicate work that he can, not a heavy lift for the Almighty to do that. So we've considered that and we've reminded ourselves. When we consider the immensity of what God has created, the psalmist asks us then to say, what is the position of people? Where do people count in all this? You know, when you stand and consider the starry sky, it's meant to make us feel pretty small. And as much as we can know about measuring things or telescopes or rockets to take us there or blow things up, whatever we're doing, we still, when we stand before what God has created, not God himself, but what he's created, we will feel small. But the psalmist asks it in such a way that he already is suggesting something. What is man that you are mindful of him? What are people that you are even thinking about them, Lord, at all? And what the Son of Man that you care for him? So not only does, I want to tell you, the Lord notices us as people, but he cares. He cares about us, all of us. So then the psalmist continues in verse 2. There's something interesting. He says, out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have established your strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. So God did not create this world and just leave it on its own. And as much as God's magnificence is proclaimed by what he made and his name in it, he is going to further establish strength in it. Okay, what does he mean? He's got to be really strong because we've just said he's created everything. And why did he do it? Because of his foes. Okay, so this is a reason why the Lord is going to be working in his world. Because now, after Satan fell, and he is, I would say, the original enemy and avenger that verse 2 is talking about. And I thought about that. Before Satan fell, there was no enemy of God. There was nobody needing to avenge anything. And I thought about how the wicked sinners will be angry in their sin and will want to avenge that anger about the state that they're in on anyone. They are the children of wrath, that's truly that Scripture speaks of. And so now, confronted by the rebellion of some of his angels, and sadly the rebellion of humans, God will now establish his strength. Satan wanted to elevate himself to the role of God. Be like God. It's what he tempted Adam and Eve with. You can be like God. As smart as God. Directing your life like God would. You can be like that. He doesn't want you to be that way. He's holding back on you, is what Satan told them. So they thought they were getting something big. They were going to be big from what they did and going against God's word. So because Satan and because people who are lost think they're making their own way, they think they're going to be calling the shots in their lives, God turned things around. And we see in our Psalms, he's going to let the weak speak. He's going to let the humble speak his truth to confront these people. And it says he's going to still them, still the enemy and the avenger. He's not going to correct them. He's not going to hint at them. He's not going to try to make them feel bad. This word here, still, in our text means stop them. He's going to stop them. That's the strength that the Lord will establish. And it echoes 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 29, right? We remember how Paul is teaching the Corinthians who were getting puffed up and getting to be big shots. He says, God chose the things that are weak. God chose the things that are of naught to show up the people and the things in the world that think that they're smart, that think that they're bigger than God. And so when his people, the people of faith, God's people, are from their weakness and from their humility and from what he has revealed to them, are speaking his truth and speaking his praise, they are signaling to the world and to the lost that the enemies of God are already defeated because God has established that strength. He establishes his strength in this world from our praise, from the praise of all his people, from the praise of the poor, from the praise of the oppressed. He's turned this world on its head. And the people who have power, who abuse it, have not realized that yet. But they will. So God's strength is not going to plead with the enemy. But he does have another special purpose in establishing his strength. Again, when we consider what he's made, the Lord says in our text, he's mindful of people. He cares for the sons of men and the Son of Man. So how is that? How is that that we can be so thankful that the Lord is not just going to judge rebellion? He is going to consider. He's going to be mindful. In what ways will he do that? What ways will he do that? And I just wanted to say, too, that when we read from this psalm, sometimes, you know, we're going from the universe down to Grace Bible Baptist, right? We're going from the universe down to a pew. And I want to tell you today, not from my good wishes, although you have them, not from some greeting card slogan, but from God's word, as we've just read, that God cares about you. In the middle of this huge, crazy world that he created, he cares and is mindful of you. And you can depend on that, as I said, not because I said it, but because he said it. Because he said it. Now, part of this goes back to Genesis, right? It goes back to Genesis, the dignity of people. People who have been made a little lower than the angels. People who have been given dominion over the earth, right? That was the charge of Adam and Eve in the garden. The animals and humans were friends. We can't even imagine that in this time. The dominion that they had over them was a dominion of care. It was a charge of care over God's creation. There was perfect communion between humans and God. And not only that, but remember what God said. When he created people, he said, "Let us make man in our image." In our image. In the Hebrew, it means likeness, something that's carved in a statue to show a likeness, to show God's likeness. And that is what his people are meant to do in this world. And after the sin and rebellion of Genesis 3, we don't do that so well. That image has been broken, that image has been distorted by sin. And it is now, we know it is not now the case that we have a great relationship with animals. We can work our will on them still, but it is not the dominion of care that God had made. The sin that people brought into it and sadly continue has ruined that. The image is broken and distorted of God, but it is still there. And God still cares about people. He still cares about restoring that image. And I wanted to take a bit of time this morning in light of some of the things we have seen lately, some of the images of people we have seen lately, and talk about the image of God in people. I wanted affirm some truths about that today, that all people are made in the image of God, all of them. Amen. That the dignity and rights that arise, that we thankfully, enjoy in this country, and the founding fathers acknowledged, they come from God. There's a reason why they wrote what they wrote, and acknowledged that those inalienable rights were given by God, because we are people made in His image. I want to tell you this morning that all people are important to God, all of them. He sent His Son Jesus to die for all of us, for God so loved the world, not just some part of it, not some zip code of it, all of it. That's how important it is. All people are worthy of love and care, all of them. Believers are called by Jesus to love our enemies, even our enemies. That's how big God's love is for people made in His image, because He desires that none should perish. Beloved believers in God, we have the gospel treasure to share with people, that message of reconciliation. And we have that to share with people. It's the power of God to save, right? As Paul said, I'm not ashamed of that gospel, because it's God's power to save, His strength established in this world. So Christians, we call ourselves Christians, we need to heed the words of God in James 3, starting in verse 7, and not use our tongues to bless God and curse those who are made in the likeness of God. Because, friends, beloved, these things should not be so. God loves people made in His image. He wants to restore them, as we said, to that communion, and actually something better than that communion that was enjoyed in the garden. He put our spirit, His Spirit, in our hearts. We are going to be, as Peter says in 1 Peter, partakers of the divine nature. He's not just going to stand us up. He's not just going to save us from wrath. We are going to be, and are right now, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, His Spirit is in you. You enjoy communion with Jesus Christ. There's an element of now, but not yet. It'll be fully realized when we're in glory. So that is the place where God has placed people. And friends, souls hang in the balance. Let us go forth and love people made in the image of God. And let's never speak or share derogatory things about other people, knowing that believers in God, fellow believers, are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Knowing that those who are not in Christ face a terrible judgment without the gospel. And how can we hate someone we know is facing that judgment? How can we not love them and care for them and want them to be with us and with Christ? So I urge you just to keep that in the forefront of our mind. And one preacher described humans as a knot that God has tied between heaven and earth, right? He's given us reasoning, yes. He's given us opposable thumbs, yes. But He's given us His Word, and He's given us consciences, so that those who have not even heard His Word, in Romans 1 we know, people who have not even heard the Bible can know what they need to know about God's magnificence and that He's important. But people, they said humans are a knot between heaven and earth. And I thought that's just a beautiful, beautiful image, that He's given people that role. God left a longing in us that only He can fulfill. Nothing in this world that He created can fill our souls, because we are designed to be with him. And only God can restore the world. And you see people all the time. We got to make some plans. This world's got some problems. Let's make some more plans. Let's save some more money. Pile some more money up. We'll make more plans. We're going to fix things. And while that's good, and we need to keep working on our problems, I'm here to tell you today that only God can restore the world to what it was meant to be. Amen. And he will when he returns. So now, who is the man crowned in glory, a little lower than the angels? And I want to suggest to you today that right now, the only person that matches the description, the Son of Man, lower than the angels, given dominion over the works of God, is Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ, who was killed for our sins, laid down his life, took it up again, was resurrected, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father. And he's the one who will bring back the earth, who will restore the dominion that God, the caring dominion that God had planned. He will end human suffering because he endured it. And why did he do that? Why did he do that? Not just to talk about it, to establish his strength, to really show us he notices us and cares for us. That's what he did. That's how much he loved and cared and is mindful. So now, Jesus, that perfect man who rules over creation, it might sound, again, impossibly remote, farther away than Pluto, even. But right now, you are a man or woman who God made. He notices you and cares about you and is mindful of you more than you could ever know. So as we are part of his great work, whether we understand it or not, and I just want to say that it's an amazing thing and a tremendous blessing that God did not leave us as he had the right to do in our sin. But he is reaching out today. He is calling you. He is calling me. He is calling us all to have faith in Jesus, because this is the love he wants to share. A magnificence beyond what we could even imagine, beyond the universe. And he wants to share it with a people, his people, forever. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you saw fit to create this world. And you were not surprised when your creatures rebelled. It did not take you by surprise. You have it under control. You have a plan that will happen because you have decreed it, because you established your strength. And Lord, we are so thankful that you did it in a way that is caring and mindful of us. Lord, we acknowledge when we look at the universe, we feel small and we feel frail. As we age, our strength fails us, but we know that you will lift up your people, establish your strength out of those who are weak and humble and poor, and you will correct this world of injustice and make it yours, pure and holy. Amen.
leadeth me, O blessed thought, a word with heavenly comfort from. Whatever I do,